If you love wisdom, put your mind up to the ceiling. Don't let it stay in the gutter. Don't let your heart get all cluttered. No, I did not stutter. Listen to all that I've muttered. Your life will only go well if you and wisdom are lovers.
If you're in love with wisdom, come inside.
Come inside. Come inside.
The truth will surely rescue you and I.
You and I. You and I.
If you're in love with wisdom, truth will surely rescue you and I.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is your host, JC Johnson, and you are listening to For the Love of Wisdom on NorthCoastUnderground.com, where the underground starts with you. Today's topic is the wisdom of tranquility. Yes, that's right, tranquility. We're going to get into that. What is tranquility? We're talking about keeping a level head no matter what's going on around you or going on inside of you, because you know there can be inner turmoil or outer turmoil. But more on that after this.
If you're in love with wisdom, come inside.
Come inside.
Did you just look down at your phone? You did it again, didn't you? You know, you're flying down the road in a 3-ton hunk of steel, and a text takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds. At 55 miles per hour, that's long enough to travel the length of a football field and cause some serious damage. Turn it off. Trust me. Whatever it is, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Hey, what's up? It's your girl Queen Z from the Queen Z Show, and you are listening to For the Love of Wisdom.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to For the Love of Wisdom, where philosophy meets the streets. You are listening to North Coast Underground, where the underground starts with you. I am your host, JC Johnson, and today we're going to discuss the topic of tranquility. We're looking at the wisdom of tranquility. Why is it wise to be tranquil, and what does that mean exactly? For those of you who missed us last time, the topic of the last show was the wisdom of sobriety. And we talked about the headlines related to drug and alcohol related deaths, statistics related to problems associated with drug and alcohol abuse. We even heard some of the horror stories provided by our two guests, Goran and Loretta. We heard about some of the horrible things going on in Serbia, some of the things going on locally here in Cleveland, and just, you know, some of the headlines from around the world and around this country. You know, it's crazy that in 2018, we're still seeing a lot of these same issues. We're still seeing that people are experimenting with these hard and heavy drugs, getting themselves into situations that really could have been avoided. Is any drug really safe? I mean, when you think about it, you're putting a foreign substance into your body. So anytime you're doing that, you're taking a risk. But one thing that I mentioned last time too, though, is that, you know, we can't be so quick to judge a person because they choose to put a illegal substance such as maybe cocaine or heroin into their body, because there are a lot of things that are legal that are not necessarily good for us either, such as fast food. There's a lot of people that do that. They eat that all the time, but it doesn't mean that it's right. It doesn't mean that it's good for you. There's a lot of things that are bad for you. But we were talking about drugs specifically. It's killing a lot of people. We looked at the statistics related to, you know, alcohol, related to drugs, how people are overdosing or just, you know, ruining their lives as a result of unnecessary experimentation. One thing that Goran, one of our guests from last week, mentioned is that 15 of his friends died as a result of dibbling and dabbling into these drugs, and that's crazy when you think about it. I don't personally know anyone, or I should say I don't know of that many people that have lost their lives due to drugs. But I have known people throughout my lifetime who have messed up their lives or made it much more difficult because of experimenting with drugs. For some people, it's the wake-up call that they need. It helps them to get their life in order. But for others, unfortunately, it ends in death. And that's something that doesn't need to happen. It's not necessary. With all of the information and technology that we have nowadays, really, I mean, if you think about it, who says to themselves, wow, I've never tried crack cocaine before, and I know about all the horrible things that I hear about it, but for some reason, I just want to know what it's like. You know, maybe it doesn't happen quite that easily for everyone, but when you think about it, in this day and age, there should be nobody who's that curious about that to start smoking crack. It's common sense, right? But as someone mentioned to me once, something I never forgot, he said, unfortunately, common sense is not very common, right? Not everybody listens to wisdom, but that's what this show is about. We're here to inspire people to think wisely, to make good decisions, to not throw their lives away. And something that really needs to be discussed is tranquility. All right, that's the topic of today's show. And why is that? Why tranquility? Well, just with drugs and alcohol, people are actually losing their lives because they just can't chill out. They just can't relax. You know, just sit back and smell the roses. Why is that? Well, because there's a lot of troubles that we go through in the days and times that we're living in. People experience loss on a daily basis. You have maybe a parent who finds themselves in a situation where they've lost their children, maybe because of substance abuse. Or maybe it's just because they found themselves in a bad situation financially and they're no longer able to provide for their children in the way that they know that they need to. So they have to send them to live with another family member, or in the worst case scenario, the government takes them and places their children in foster care or something like that. You know, all types of negative things like that happen. And it's unfortunate, but it's true. People lose their job. They don't know how they're going to survive. They don't know how they're going to support themselves or support their families. One thing we're going to get into a little bit later, we're going to talk about the stock market crash of 1929 and even some of the more recent depressions or recessions and how that's affected people. Sometimes people commit suicide just because they're so distraught over not having money, over not knowing how they're going to make it. But sometimes people just need to relax. At one point in my life, I lived in Medellin, Colombia. Something that people there used to tell me all the time. They just say, hey, tranquilo, tranquilo. You know, it's like, relax, chill out, calm down. It's not that serious, right? Because sometimes we let life stress us way too much, and it's not necessary. Why are we stressing? Why are we so overly concerned with things that we can't control? What's the saying? God, give me the... I'm going to butcher this because I don't remember it word for word, but it's something like, God, give me the serenity to, you know, handle the things that I can't control, and, you know, just to accept the things that that I can't change, and you know, the ability to change the things that I can change, and the wisdom to know the difference, something like that, right? Just for those of you who are like, nah, man, you can't do that. You can't just give us a lame interpretation of something like that. But so for those of you who really want to know what it really says, I'm going to look it up for you so I can give you the exact phrase. How about that? All right, because I don't want anyone to be disappointed or to say, man, this dude doesn't research. He's just on here on this microphone just talking. Right? So when we come back from the break, I'm definitely going to give you the full saying there. But I love little pithy sayings like that. You know, just, you know, short, sweet, encouraging statements. Because just keeping those things in mind, it can help you get through a bad day. I used to work at a summer camp, and one of the things they used to tell all of the camp counselors was, hey, there's no such thing as good days and bad days. There's only good days and growth days, right? Good days and growth days, because even on the days where everything doesn't go exactly the way that you had planned, there's something good that you're able to get from it. There's something you're able to learn from so that it can make you a better person, so it can make you a more effective leader, right? So it's all about perspective. So we're about to take a commercial break. We'll be right back. You're listening to For the Love of Wisdom, where philosophy meets the streets. For the Love of Wisdom on North Coast Underground, where the underground starts with you. All right, welcome back, everyone. You're listening to For the Love of Wisdom, where philosophy meets the streets, and you are listening on North Coast Underground. Now, before the break, I did my best to try to remember the Serenity Prayer, right? Actually, before we get into that, I just want to make sure that everyone fully understands, if you're new to the show, what the show is all about. So, of course, remember that the show title, For the Love of Wisdom, actually comes from the word philosophy, right? Because philosophy comes from two Greek words. The first one is philo, which means love. And the second one is sophos, which means wisdom. All right. So looking at the word wisdom, according to Merriam-Webster, it's the ability to discern inner qualities and relationships. It's insight. It is having good sense or judgment, right? Dictionary.com says that wisdom is the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. So that's what this show is all about. It is the love of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. I don't know about you, but that is something that I love. That is something that I want. That is something that I desperately need in my life. I need to be able to discern inner qualities of people and relationships. I need insight. I need good judgment. I need to make good decisions, because if not, if I don't make good decisions, then I'm going to destroy my life, and nobody wants to do that. So that's what we're talking about. That's what all these shows are about. For the Love of Wisdom, it's all about philosophy, but as the tagline says, it is where philosophy meets the streets, because we want to make it relevant. Because when people think of philosophy, sometimes they think of it incorrectly. They think this is only for professors in a university or for people going to debates and things like that. But no, philosophy is something that we use in our everyday lives. Philosophy is important. It's as important as the air we breathe, because really, it influences what air we choose to breathe. It influences where we go. It influences where we live. It influences who we talk to and why we talk to them. It influences everything that we do. It influences everyone around us. So that's why it's so important. Now, back to the Serenity Prayer. I was talking about it before the break, and I don't even remember what I said. I don't even want to think about it. But for those of you who want the real deal, I got it right here. All right. So I took a couple minutes, did some research, and here's what I found. The Serenity Prayer that most people are familiar with is thought to be written by Reinhold Niebuhr. Okay? And it goes as follows. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. All right, so that is the Serenity Prayer that most people are familiar with. But what I found too is that there was a little bit of controversy surrounding that. Okay, so first thing, Fred R. Shapiro, he's a writer. He made some claims back in 2008 on the front page of the New York Times, basically saying that Reinhold Niebuhr, who most people credit as writing the Serenity Prayer, he says that he actually didn't write it. Now, that's pretty big. The Serenity Prayer is something that many people use. It's used in Alcoholics Anonymous and other 12-step programs. It's a big deal. The family of Reinhold Niebuhr actually was pretty disappointed. His daughter was offended that Fred R. Shapiro basically made claims that he didn't write it. So in the words of Fred R. Shapiro, he says, the greatest American theologian of the 20th century, who was also perhaps the greatest American political philosopher of the 20th century, probably did not originate the most famous and beloved prayer of the 20th century. Pretty interesting. Personally, I don't see any reason why Reinhold Niebuhr would not have wrote it. I mean, in his article, who wrote the Serenity Prayer from April 28, 2014, Fred Shapiro himself, who originally said that this was not written by Reinhold Niebuhr, he actually recanted his original statement. So in April of 2014, Fred R. Shapiro actually wrote that he now agrees that the Serenity Prayer was written by Reinhold Niebuhr due to some further evidence that he discovered. I mean, that's great and all, but it's a little too late now that you already published something in the New York Times, isn't it? But hey, I digress. If we can't identify another author, then I say let's just give credit where credit is due. Is it true? Who knows? But the important thing is not the origin, it's not the origin of the saying, but it's the power behind it. It's a very powerful statement. I actually have a t-shirt with the Serenity Prayer printed on it that I used to wear probably around the time when I first started college. That was one of my favorite t-shirts. Kind of got faded a little bit due to not taking the best care of it when doing laundry. But hey, that's another story. Either way it goes though, I think the Serenity Prayer is pretty powerful. And In Fred R. Shapiro's article, his most recent one, where he actually takes back his statement about the origin of it, he includes the later and finalized version of the prayer that Reinhold Niebuhr wrote. And I think that it's pretty cool. It kind of expands the original idea. It's more full. Of course, the short and sweet version is good, but I think it's also good to just see it in its full context. And he provides it here, so let's check it out. It says, God, give me grace to accept with serenity the things that cannot be changed, courage to change the things which should be changed, and the wisdom to distinguish the one from the other. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking, as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever and the next. Amen. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty powerful. Again, regardless of who wrote it, it's a powerful statement. So, with all that being said, it's time to really get into what this episode is all about. We are talking about the wisdom of tranquility. Hey, I mean, we might even be able to call it the wisdom of serenity now. But yeah, the wisdom of tranquility, the wisdom of serenity. Let's take a look at it. But we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to finish up or continue our discussion on tranquility, why it's important. We're going to look at some of the dictionary definitions of the word, and we're going to see what we can really get out of it. I thank you for tuning in today, taking the time to listen. You're listening to For the Love of Wisdom on North Coast Underground, where the underground starts with you. We'll be right back shortly, so don't go anywhere. Listen to the commercials. I know they're kind of long, but don't worry about it. We'll be right back. Check out a couple nice songs too.
You're now listening to For the Love of Wisdom on NorthCoastUnderground.com, where the underground starts with who? No other but you.
All right, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to For the Love of Wisdom, where philosophy meets the streets. And you're listening on NorthCoastUnderground.com, where the underground starts with who? You know it starts with you, right? That's right. All right, so before the break, we were discussing the wisdom of tranquility, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. So we're going to continue that discussion now. Let's take a look at the definition of the word tranquility. What does tranquility mean? Well, according to the American Heritage Dictionary, the word tranquilize, that's what we're going to go off of. To start with, the word tranquilize means to sedate or relieve of anxiety or tension. Now, if you think about sedating something or someone, well, when I think of the word sedate, I don't know about you, but I just think of the song by the Ramones, I Want to Be Sedated. Now, I'm not advocating what they were talking about in the song, because that would be a complete contradiction to what we discussed last week. However, I like that song. I just like the way it sounds. It's catchy. I wanna be sedated. All right. Anyone remember that? Well, anyway, tranquil or tranquilize, it means to sedate or relieve of anxiety or tension. It means to have a calming or soothing effect. If you think about not even just drugs, but any kind of substance, such as maybe some tea or a cup of coffee, something like that. Although it can be argued that coffee can be a drug. So, all right, let's just say you got some non-caffeinated hot beverage. You're drinking it. It's calming. It's soothing. Or maybe think of a baby that's crying and is held by his mother or his father. And that parent is just, you know, they have their hand on the baby's back. They're just whispering in his ear like, shh, it's okay. It's okay. Just relax. everything is fine. You're with me now, right? It's that soothing, that calming effect, right? That's what it means to be tranquil. And as it was referenced in Newman, the Latin lexicon, the word tranquility actually comes from the Latin root word tranquillus, which literally means to bring peaceful tidings. Okay? Figuratively, the way that we mostly use the word, it means calm, quiet, peaceful, placid, composed, untroubled, undisturbed, serene, right? And we were talking earlier about the serenity prayer. That's what it comes from. It comes from that state of mind of just being tranquil, not being worried about everything that's going on around you, but you're just like, yeah, I feel good right now. I'm in a good space. I'm not worried. That's what tranquility is all about. And it's important in the day and age that we're living in to be peaceful, to be at peace within ourselves. Because if you don't have peace within yourself, you'll let every little thing bother you and throw you off track. We don't want to go off course. We want to stay focused. We want to stay consistent, because that's the only way that we can accomplish our goals. That's the only way that we can truly succeed in this life. And that's why I think it's so important to talk about. That's why we're talking about it today. The wisdom of tranquility, serenity, peace, calm, quiet, being composed, being untroubled, being unshaken by what's going on around you or within you. Because as mentioned before, sometimes there's inner turmoil that you face. All the worries, all the doubts, all the fears that you may have, that can throw you off, and we don't want that. We want to remain cool, calm, level-headed, so that we can face whatever may come at us, whatever adversity that we face. So, one thing that we're going to look at today, as we look at on every episode, we're going to look at some of the headlines related to the abundance of tranquility and also the lack of tranquility and how that affects people. Because believe it or not, not being at peace will affect you in some shape or form. It definitely will have an impact on your life, and you don't want that. Now, let's take a look at some of the headlines related to stress. Things that take away our peace, things that take away our tranquility. All right, here's an article written by Tim Carpenter in the Topeka Capital Journal from May 11, 2018. It's talking about Kansas. Kansas, what is it about Kansas? Are we talking about The Wizard of Oz? Are we talking about Dorothy and Toto? No, not in this case. It says that Kansas is experiencing rise in stress-related mortality among middle-aged whites. That's pretty interesting. Let's see what they have to say about it. They're saying that the stressful living conditions in Kansas are contributing to a dramatic increase in the mortality rate among middle-aged whites. It goes on to say that on a national level, the recently documented rise in deaths among whites aged 25 to 64 has drawn scrutiny of researchers, including a deep dive into Kansas. In terms of the change in Kansas, here are key numbers over the two-decade period. When it comes to drug overdoses, it says that there has been a 585% increase. Whoa. Like, I don't even know what that, I don't even know how that works. Wait, I thought 100 was the maximum. You're talking about 585% increase. That's pretty, That's pretty high. Alcohol poisoning from binge drinking has gone up 440%. That's crazy. Alcoholic liver disease, that's gone up 54%. Suicide has increased by 52%. Now, I'm glad that the suicide is not 585%, but still, 52% is not good either. It also goes on to say that another way to examine the trend is to compare the mortality rate among 100,000 whites in Kansas from 1995 to 1999 against the rate between 2010 and 2014. So it says that in that sense, the rate for drug overdoses shifted from 2.2% in the early period to 15.1% in the more recent period. Alcoholic liver disease escalated from 4.1% to 6.4%. While suicide broadened from 15.4% to 23.3%. Those are some pretty high numbers there. That's a drastic increase if you think about it. Too many people are dying. Too many people are dying because of stress. We don't need that kind of stress in our lives. The article then goes on to say, in 2016, the Commonwealth Fund's analysis of data from the Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention showed rising death rates among middle-aged whites was associated with the nation's stalled progress in fighting leading causes of death, respiratory disease, diabetes, and heart disease. That work also pointed to suicide and substance abuse as culprits for working-age adults from 1968 to 2014. Wow, it looks like health-related issues are causing people to be stressed out. We need to put an end to this. But we're going to get more into that after the break. You are listening to For the Love of Wisdom, where philosophy meets the streets. All right, everybody, welcome back to For the Love of Wisdom. You are listening to NorthCoastUnderground.com, where the underground starts with you. All right, so before the break, we were continuing our discussion on the wisdom of tranquility. And for right now, we are getting ready to conclude today's broadcast. But before we go, I want to make sure that you are left with some encouragement. On the next episode, we're going to go a little bit further into the wisdom and importance of tranquility and serenity. But one thing that I think would really encourage everyone is just to look at what the Bible has to say about the importance of having peace. Now, there's a great website, BibleStudyTools.com. They have some awesome resources, and there's something that was put together by the staff of Bible Study Tools. They actually put this together, something that's going to be very helpful to us, and it's 30 Bible verses that have to do with peace. So if you're ever in need of some encouragement, you ever just want to refocus your mind, get your mind thinking clearly, these are some great verses to think about. All right, so let's see what it has to say. In Colossians 3:15, it says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful." In Galatians 5:22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness." In Hebrews 12:14, it tells us to make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. All right? Let's live at peace with everyone. In 1 Peter 3:11, it says, "They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it." All right, that's a great way to stay tranquil, turn from evil and do good, seek peace. And 1 Peter 5:7, it says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And when it's saying on him, it's talking about cast your cares, your anxieties, your worries, cast that upon Christ. Let him deal with it because he cares for you. He doesn't want you to be stressed out. In 1 Thessalonians 5:15, it says, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. In James 3:18, it tells us that peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. You know, Jesus actually said, blessed are the peacemakers, right? So we know that keeping the peace actually helps the quality of our own lives. In Philippians 4:7, it says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Proverbs 12:20 goes on to say that deceit is in the hearts of those who plot evil, but those who promote peace have joy. That's pretty good. That's something great to remember. In Proverbs 16:7, it says that when the Lord takes pleasure in anyone's way, he causes their enemies to make peace with them. And that's something that I know that we all could benefit from, having our enemies be at peace with us. I know I don't want to have beef with anybody. I don't know about you, but I want to live at peace with people. In Psalm 29:11, it says, the Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. In Romans 12:18, it tells us that if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Not just some people, not just those that you're cool with, not just your family, not just your friends, not just your boss because you don't want to get fired. It says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. If they don't want to be at peace with you, that's on them. But make sure that you live at peace with everyone. Romans 14:19 says that, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Psalm 34:14 tells us to turn from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. That's good wisdom right there. 1 Peter 3:9-11 goes on to say, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. Psalm 37:37 says, consider the blameless, observe the upright. A future awaits those who seek peace. Then in Psalm 85:8, it says, I will listen to what God the Lord says. He promises peace to his people, his faithful servants, but let them not turn to folly. Then in Romans 12:17-21, it says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. We went over that earlier. But then it also goes on to say, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. So that means that you don't have to get even with people. When people do you wrong, you don't have to do them wrong just to get back at them. Let God take care of it. In verse 20, it then goes on to say, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. That's pretty funny imagery. Not saying that you should just want to heap burning coals on somebody's head, but hey, just know sometimes it burns people up when you treat them right, because they want you to retaliate. They want you to treat them bad. It makes them feel better about themselves. But no, it's not necessary. Verse 21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Psalm 119:165 says, "Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble." Wow, those verses are really encouraging. I wish that we could just talk about them all day, but we're running out of time. That's it for today. Thank you for joining me on For the Love of Wisdom. We talked about the wisdom of tranquility, and when we come back, we're going to continue the discussion on tranquility and serenity. So be at ease. Peace to you. This is JC Johnson. See you next time.
Knowledge is power, power is money, and money makes the world go round.
Money, power, respect, I get it. Higher learning, yeah, I'm with it. Only get better with time, can get on my mind. With wisdom, there's no limit. There's no limit. Get up and get it. Can achieve the impossible. Conquer every obstacle. Exhausted from grinding, constantly pushing. Do what they say I couldn't. Life is what you make it. Knowledge is power, don't let them take it.
If you're in love with wisdom, come inside.
Come inside. Come inside.
The truth will surely rescue you and I.
You and I. You and I.
If you're in love with wisdom, come inside.
Come inside. Come inside.
The truth will surely rescue you.